Take your Bible, if you would, please. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Thank you, Brother Josh, for a good message this morning. I like preaching that brags on him. I like singing that brags on him. I like to live a life that brags on him. Amen. If you can't bring it, don't sing it. But I like that. And what a joy it is. I've got to look in a little bit this week. We are putting in some extra parking at our church, and then we're remodeling our old sanctuary, turning into a fellowship building because we had to go to the gym for our main building. So it's been a busy week this week. Then I think we've got 702,000 people with the flu in our church, and it looks like grenade hits every week, you know. But anyway, on the way here today, I was riding up the road, and I was listening to Brother Lester Roloff preaching on Honeycomb Christian about them bees, them honeybees, and then he talking about them yellow jackets and wasps, you know. Yeah. Then Brother Jeremy Chisholm was preaching. I was listening to him going that. Some other brother down White Horse Road, White Horse something, I was listening to that. Brother Scott Dean, I was listening to him, and he's preaching the announcements. I mean, he was wide open. And then it seemed like it was something. Oh, Brother Rudy Smith, and of course you heard Brother Rudy yesterday, and I think he's Brother Strauss' pastor, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? Or no, Brother Mark and them were very close. I know that because he mentioned Brother Rudy every time he preaches for us. And Brother Grady told me on the way up here, Brother Rudy just preached wonderful. Yesterday, and I really ought to get you to turn to the maps. Maybe we can find something there. You done heard about everything. I want to give you something. I woke up Tuesday, and it wasn't at midnight, thank the Lord, it was earlier. But I woke up Tuesday, and I've had this thought on my heart. Brother Davey knows that my real gear, my preaching, is not as much a Jubilee type as it is revival and preaching to a generation that it's time to take a stand for God. Amen. I woke up and I had this thought on my heart, and I thought, well, surely by Friday morning, it'll go away. But it didn't. But then on the way down here, you know how it is, you usually have a lot of other things on your mind. I just don't. Then the choir sung that song, and I thought to myself, boy, this doesn't fit. And then the Lord reminded me of Tuesday when I woke up. And he said, I knew what it was going to be like now when I told you Tuesday.
Amen, preacher. That's right. That's right.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I want to say real quickly, we'll be hosting a Foothills Youth Fellowship a week from this Saturday. We already know there are 400 teenagers coming. We're expecting more than that. But we'll be having a Foothills Youth Choir singing. Brother Mark Stroud will be bringing the message. The Nun Sister, if you haven't heard those two young ladies sing, tremendous. One of those young ladies making a great impact in her college she's at. And then the Parkette girls, and I know you know them, they'll be singing for us, and we'll be looking forward to a good time. And so you help us pray about that. And we get this in today, and I'm looking forward to hearing Brother McBride. I love good Bible preaching. And listen, Brother Josh Montgomery's a real deal, friend, I'm telling you. I've got to preach with him, for him. And he's preached for us, and I keep bragging on Jesus, son. I love you. You know that. And I do. Paul says, or the Bible says, now Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to preach this morning on a simple thought. Using verse number 4, I want to preach this morning on beating your addiction. Beating your addiction. I am really tired, weary of sitting in my office, having young people as well as adults to sit across the desk from me whose lives have been ruined by addiction. Whose lives have been ruined. And I'm not talking about unsaved people. No doubt that is a problem. A lost man needs to be saved. But his addiction is not his problem. His problem is he needs Christ. But I'm talking about a day in which Christians are being entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We won't do a lot of shouting. I just really want to give you this. And if there's one person, one teenager, and I preach to teenagers, I would say across the country, but that ain't true, across the Southeast. With one teenager, if one mom or dad, nobody knows about, would break that addiction. Won't you listen to me, and then I'm going to preach about 29, 30 minutes and be done. I know we didn't say a time, but I think I can give you what I need to give you and be done. But don't you listen. That relationship can be an addiction. Making money can be an addiction. We think of addictions. We think of drugs and alcohol. We think of pornography and things of that nature. But there are a lot of addictions. We can even, hey, Paul even said he was addicted to the ministry. I have a few thoughts about that. I won't give them to you now because I don't want to sit at a table with the Sanhedrin and discuss it. Father, God, we want to thank you for Brother Josh this morning. I want to thank you for a young man that bragged on the Lamb of God. I was helped. Lord, I want to thank you for them honeybees. I listened years gone by, Brother Roloff, on the way down the road. Lord, help me, God, be a sweet Christian. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the good singing by the young lady earlier in then this youth choir. I want to thank you for Mountain View Baptist Church and School, Brother Steve, and the wonderful fellowship and sweet folks there. And I'm so glad that we get to be in meetings and be a part of this journey together. Now, Lord, I plead the blood. Lord, I need you because, God, I know where I'm headed. And Lord, I know, God, that without you, Lord, I know, God, I just feel an urgency. God, I feel a tug. Lord, I need your help. I'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, we pray and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You want to stay with me here in this passage of the Word of God? I've got one in my life to believe how important it is to be a Bible preacher. I get concerned today when the only people sometimes that people want to hear is the funniest or the ones that tell the best jokes. Friend, if we're going to live for God in our day, we better get back to the Bible, to the Word of God, and preach it and live it. Today I'm talking about beating your addictions. The dictionary defines a stronghold as a fortified place of security. Something that has us bound. Something that is holding us back. Something that is keeping us from being what we could be for God if we would just be willing for God to take it out of our lives. in Luke 19, and I've preached many messages about the colt that was tied, and I've preached, I think, here a few years ago on how to get God on you. For when that colt came into Jerusalem, Jesus was sitting on that colt, and to get God on you, you got to be tied up at the right place and doing the right thing so the Lord can find you. There's a need that needs to be addressed as I begin the message. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Friend, if sin would have made you happy, you would have never got saved to start with. And because you got saved, that means you weren't happy with the way you were living. I want to say this, if it didn't satisfy you then, after you've tasted of the good things of an almighty God, it will not ever satisfy you. You will never enjoy the pleasures of sin. There's a need to be addressed. There's a nature to be dealt with. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Listen, in order to break an addiction in our life, we must attack it with a spiritual battle. Not knowing our day and time, we put people on pedestals, especially preachers. And I love when my young people and my small children come out of our super church, or our teenagers come in after Sunday school, and they come by and say, I love you, preacher, and I appreciate you. I love all that. I'm glad of all that. But I always want to remind them that I am flesh, and that I can fail them, and you can fail them, and their flesh can fail them. But friend, there is, and I know this is elementary in this statement, but there is one that never fails, and that's the Lord Jesus. When you think about addiction in your life, Paul says here, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Even the word casting down imaginations, and I could say more about that. And I deal more today with people's mindset than I do anything else as a pastor. I feel sometimes like I should have took an extra course of psychology, and I'm convinced that I even deal with people sometimes that just don't even have a toy in their Happy Meal. And I wonder sometime, how do you get that miserable? But maybe it's something else controlling their life, or they just can't win. Sitting in our church congregations all across this country, sitting in our church congregations are people that put on the coat and tie. Girls that fix their hair and put on their dressed to go to their fundamental church. Throw our Bible under our arms. And we go, but we truly know that when we leave and go back home, that thing that keeps gnawing at us, that thing that we just can't seem to get away from. I want to give you two messages in one. And I'm going to give it to you rapid fire. But I want you to listen. First of all, I want to say this. How is your addiction affecting your faith? Let me say this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. How is this addiction in your life affecting your walk with God? How is it affecting your faith? Anything in your life that's causing you to drift away from God. I tell my young people all the time, and I'm one of these, and I believe this, and Brother Shelton, I'll be in their youth camp again this year, and last year on a Thursday night, it may have been one of the best church services I've ever been in. Some of my young people are still changed to this day, and I think will never be the same. But I think about this over and over and over and over again, and I think about the fact of how we need to be real in our lives, and that our faith, the way we live, shouldn't be affected. And I tell our young people over and over again, I'm not one that believes in casual dating. I'm not one that believes in involving 47 relationships. I believe you seek and pray for the will of God for your life. My daughter just got engaged to the only guy she's ever dated in her life. He is a Yankee, that does bother me. But at the same time, he's transplanted and born again, and I baptize him. I wish I could baptize him again. I'd hold him under longer. How is our addiction affecting our faith? Let me say this today. If you're addicted to something, something's got a hold of you. It's going to affect your Christian life. Second of all, rapid fire, listen. How is your addiction affecting your flesh? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Bible says you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. How is your addiction affecting your faith? How is your addiction affecting your flesh? What's it doing to you? What's it doing to your body? What's it doing to you physically? What is it doing to your mindset? What does your mind stay on? What is your heart attached to? When you go to church and you sit in the house of God, how far away are you? Where's your mind at? Where's your heart at? What is it that you can't wait to get back to? That you can't wait to go back to? Friend, I'm telling you, if there's anything more important in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know, friend, it needs to take a step back. Because there is nothing more to be important to you than him. Number three, and the end of message one. How is your addiction affecting your family? My personal Bible study some time ago, I was reading about Abraham and the influence that Abraham made on his nephew Lot. Some places people would never see if backslidden Christians didn't take them there. A young girl stood in a meeting some years ago. You've heard me share this at Gateway. Stood in a meeting some years ago and people had testified. And one brother said, God delivered me from drugs, enough from alcohol. And it was those times where people were weeping, shouting over all that God had delivered them from. One young girl stood in that auditorium and she said, preacher, I want to testify, but she said, I don't have a testimony. She said, to be honest, I raised in church all my life. I don't know what beer tastes like. I don't even know what drugs look like unless it's Tylenol. I have no idea about all these things I've heard. And I just stopped her in that youth meeting. I said, wait a minute. I said, don't ever say that you don't have a testimony. Because there's a whole lot of us in this building right now that would to God that we'd never been in some of these places and done some of these things. We would to God that a long time ago God would have delivered us and God would have got us out. I said to her, you do have a testimony. How's your addiction affecting your family? Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now it's going to get really quiet. But mom and dad, if you pitch your tent toward the soccer field every time they're having church, and you pitch your tent toward the athletics, and I'm not against athletics, except the NFL. I like athletics. I enjoy them. I like MMA. I love watching people beat the devil out of each other, and it's not me. I enjoy all that. But I'm telling you, friend, we have got to the place where we're so addicted to this stuff that it's taking our kids away from God. It's taking our family. We're more interested in a trophy, and we're more interested in a scholarship, and we're more interested in this, that, and the other. And friend, we ought to be getting our kids, pitching their tents down at the house of God. So I ask you again, how's your addiction affecting your faith? And I ask you something, buddy. When you started dating her, are you still as close to God now as you were then? You tell me she's the perfect will of God for your life, but ever since you started dating her spiritually, you've been going downhill. Young lady, you say, I want to be a preacher's wife. And by the way, I do not want all teenage girls to be preacher's wives. Matter of fact, I pray for you that you might not. Whew. Lord God, if you live with us, I told my wife, 33 years, there's got to be something special for her in heaven. Married to me that long. But don't you listen. You say, oh, God sent this guy my way. Well, if he did, and all you do is think about him and how good looking he is and how he's so wonderful and how, and you go to church and you can't even worship because he's on your mind. You're addicted. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in love. Praise God, I like being in love. Been in love for a long time. Same woman. Long time. You say, preacher, do you think about her as much as you did when you first got going? I think about her more because I need more help. How's your addiction affecting your flesh and your family? Listen to me. In an auditorium this size, nobody knows. There's somebody in this auditorium. I'm going to tell you this. And brother, I agree with Brother Josh. I pick up a whole lot of thoughts from reading. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what it's about me. I don't know if you get older. I've always been hard. I'm like ants in your pants. I can't sit still. But I've got where I enjoy reading more than ever having gleaning from other people. And a lot of times I preach thoughts and be honest with you. Man, my people look at me and they think I am so smart. Man, he's smart. Well, I'm smart enough to read out to that guy that is smart. Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You won't tell him where you got it. Listen, my youth pastor, I will not tell him the books in my library because he believes God gives me everything through his Shekinah glory and a lightning bolt. Well, you ought to get in the corner and seek God. Preach the book. Your fancy title ain't going to save nobody. Preach the book. Right? I got fancy titles. That has got nothing to do with what I'm talking about anyway. But don't you listen to me. We live in a day where people are addicted. Sit right here in this auditorium. I mean, honestly, Tuesday night, when I woke up, and it was about 10:30, thank the Lord, and went to bed about 10. I hadn't thought about this message. I hadn't read about it. I hadn't prayed about it. I hadn't looked at a book. And so help me, I don't believe God, he hasn't spoke to me audibly. If he has to you, I like to talk to me about it because that's cool. But he's never done that to me. If he did, I think it'd scare me to death and I'd go see him. But I woke up without a doubt and the Holy Ghost said, preach on addiction Friday morning. I got excited last night. I was getting a little bit of a sore throat and I thought, hallelujah, I'm going to be sick. I had to call Brother Dave and tell him I can't go. That's how much I knew. No matter how high it got, what happened, it was my lot for Friday morning. Now, that's message one in about 15 minutes. Don't dare tell my church I just did that. Message two is the second in the series I preach to young people on addiction. How do you win over addiction? How do I win? How do I look back in your Bible, break down these strongholds? How do I beat my addiction? Number one, we must have the supernatural power of God. I believe with all my heart the key to victory for every mom and dad, for every adult, for every teenager, the key to victory for our life is the power of God. I believe that He is the only one that can break our addiction in our life. I've had people look across my desk, Brother Tim, weeping and say these words to me and mean them. Fix me, preacher. Fix me, preacher. I've had teenagers look at me and say, preacher, fix my life. The whole time I knew I couldn't fix it. I can't only fix my own mess. We must have the supernatural power of God. Philippians 4 is a great verse in verse 13, but don't read it out of context. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But look at how you got to live, what you got to do, and what Paul said about it in the entire chapter. We can't grab a verse out of the Bible and build a whole doctrine on it when it's totally out of context. You don't have power with God living any way you want to live. I hear people talking about God shall supply all my needs. You better read the previous verses about them giving to the Lord. You got a doctrine built today in charismatics, disbelieve. Oh, I can do all things. He'll give me everything. Yeah, and how you gonna live? God's not some string we pull to say, here come my stuff. Am I right? If I have ever stood in the pulpit, and I've stood many times in the pulpit of this church, if I've ever preached a message that I really feel that God put on my heart, and I preached a few, but I mean just really feel, no bones about it, no pomp circumstance, no pat on the back, no accolades, I'm just telling you, God said, say it. Every morning I've got to pray and read the Word of God, and when I've got done every morning, God said, say it every morning. And I want to say this to you. That does mean that God knew whoever it is would be here. We must have the supernatural power of God. Secondly, do not get dead on me here. We must have separation that is good. I realize that we live in a world where we try to make Christian puppets and we try to put people in molds of what we think they are to be, and we try to make the word separation a bad word. But I want to say to you, God said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And the way not to be addicted to things is to get away from them. Separate. If it's bothering you, get it away. The Bible says and lets us know that a stronghold is something that has us bound. And if you keep going back to it, you're going to stay bound. Have I had things that were strongholds in my life since I've been saved? You better believe I have. Am I going to tell you what they are? You better believe I'm not. But I will tell you this. I've walked in the pulpit and didn't feel the touch I should have felt until I got that right with God. Right? Hey, I'll be honest with you. We got young people in our youth groups, and you guys know this. I'm not saying anything you don't know. You go to church every week of your life, but you're never really free. It's like you're always bound. It's like you're trying to put on this show for people that are looking at you. So that when they look at you, they'll think, well, they're good. But then you go home and you think, man alive, something ain't right. Preacher, listen. You pray for the supernatural power of God. God may point over to that girl and say, that ain't it. You say, well, I ain't going to pray for that because I believe she's it. Well, You marry about 3 months down the road, she ain't it. You'll know. God says he's called you to preach. She said, I ain't gonna be no preacher's wife. Then she leaves you and you're sitting in your house. Your whole deal's ruined. Cost your addiction to a pretty face, long hair, and makeup. Right? I think about how many times that I was in love when I was a teenager. Man, I'm telling you, I mean, Lord, I bet, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I bet I told 11 girls that I loved them. Matter of fact, didn't that many of them tell me back? Some of them. And I think of how many times, Brother Chisholm, I could have made the wrong decision. The supernatural power of God, separation that is good. What is good separation? It's what keeps you away from being bound and pulled away from God and holding you back and keeps you from being full of the Holy Ghost. And thirdly, and I'm done, we must have scripture that's a guard. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. You better get in this book every day of your life. I'm going to say this to you. I've been doing this 33 years as a pastor, not just preaching, as a Baptist pastor. 31 years, 33 a couple in evangelism. I've been doing it that long. And I'm going to tell you this. I see more people today because of the availability of everything. Bound. That I have ever, Brother Farmer, ever seen in all the years I've been preaching. Any of you kids from Gateway here, teenagers that were up with us in December, lift your hands. Some of you guys are back there. Don't you listen to me? I've got a few boys. I've always had girls in our youth group that love the Lord and they cry and wave their hand. Thank God for girls that love Jesus because at least they, most of them are not ashamed of it. But boys are so cool. I mean, you know what I'm saying, hey? You know? And I mean, to get them to loosen up, they're so bound by coolness. You got any young people like that? I mean, I got young boys could be something for God, but honey, if they walk by ice cream and freeze, they are cool. You know, I mean, they walk in church cool. Right? And they'll go walk in church cool and all little girls be going, huh? Got a tube of gel in their hair. I mean, they look good. They got the Bible. They looking right. Listen. If I'll stop in 3.5 minutes, I'm going to preach all 2 messages in 30 minutes. 2. I mean, that's almost Red Sea stuff right there. I probably won't stop in 3 minutes, but it's close. Watch now. We had a couple boys like that in our youth group. I mean, good-looking boys, you know, and understand when I say good-looking boys, they're just good-looking boys. They don't appeal to me. I ain't never understood that. I love Brother David Shelton. I don't see one thing about him that attracts me at all. Can I get a witness? Had a couple of boys up there in that meeting. God already been dealing with them, but all of a sudden, the addiction of coolness left. Last Last Sunday I was preaching. And on the front row, them boys that usually sit there like a wooden Indian at Cherokee. Please don't be offended by that, all you bunch of snowflakes. I apologize. But anyway, then all of a sudden, honey, God got on and them hands wasn't there. Tears running down their face. And it didn't matter what girl was looking. And it didn't matter who else thought anything about it. All of a sudden, they were free. They weren't bound anymore. They'd been set free. I would to God that God would raise a generation that would be set free by the power of God and not let addiction hold us back. When we think of addiction, we think of drugs and alcohol and pornography and all those things are. And there may be somebody here today dealing with that. But I want to say this. There's a whole lot more to addiction than that. I'm going to go ahead and turn the service over to Brother Davey. And he can just do whatever he needs to do. But I want to say this to you today. If you're here today and something has you bound, I don't want you to come confess to me. I don't want you to come up and talk. I don't need that. But you know what's holding you back.
That's right.
You told me mind the Lord. You want me to? I'm tired of seeing people that don't have joy. I'm tired of pastoring people that look at it every week and I think, man, what's wrong? You've hung your harps in the willow trees. 60 young people come out of a Sunday school and I look and I think, man, where's your joy? It's not what's at church. It's what has them bound before they ever get there. You know the verse, casting all your care upon him for he cares for you? Do you know that word casting is a very good term for even fishing? It means to throw it out and to let it go. It don't mean to reel it in. Maybe somebody this morning says, you know what? I'm tired of that beating me. Preacher, I'm going to turn the invitation to you and